I can see that everybody's here has survived the holiday season for the most part, right? You're on the other side of the chaos that is Christmas and New Year's and celebration and family. I think the Christmas season is a lot like going somewhere on vacation. Just like a vacation, you look forward to it all year long with the decorations and the family and the food and the gifts and the remembrance of the birth of Christ. But also like a vacation, once the day arrives, it never seems to go as you've planned it. Maybe someone burns some food, or someone gets sick, or maybe a family member couldn't show up, or maybe one of them brought up politics. Whatever the thing was, it is not what you envisioned. And also, like a vacation, once it has come and gone, you realize just how much effort and work really went into it. And now you feel like you need a vacation from your holiday vacation. Unlike us in our planning, we will see today that everything God plans goes just the way it should. Jesus will begin his ministry in our text today, and everything will look as it is by design by our Heavenly Father. We will look at three things done by Jesus in his obedience to his Father. They are his baptism, his temptation, and his ministry begins. Mark 1, 9 through 15. Please stand as we read God's word together. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day once again, and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for Jesus, your Son, that it reveals to us. And we just ask you that you open our hearts and our minds and allow us to take in what we need to hear from you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're going to look briefly at each of these three events this morning with one thing in our minds as we wake our way through our service to the Lord's table together today. This one thing is, praise God for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
During our Christmas celebrations, we took some time to look at what the Bible said in regards to the birth of Christ. We were shown how Jesus came at just the right time in history to bring salvation to us all. As we began Mark last week, we saw that our author wasted no time with introductions or life stories, but simply stated that Jesus was the Son of God and that began our gospel story. This story began with the messenger, John the Baptist, pointing to the Savior who was coming. Today we will look at this Savior and we will start with his baptism. Verse 9, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." We need not to miss that statement. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. This is God speaking directly into the situation. These may be the greatest words we'll read in the Bible. This has never been said about any prophets from the Old Testament. This has never been said by any Israelite. This is said about Jesus Christ. We should all want to hear these words from God. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So what we have here is the baptism of Jesus. He goes to John the Baptist to be baptized, and then God acknowledges this as the beginning of Christ's ministry. He acknowledges it with his Spirit and with his words. God speaking from heaven and sending the Spirit is spectacular imagery and paints a wonderful picture of the Trinity here. God the Son is beginning his ministry, and he has sent God the Spirit as a helper. As God the Father watches on and is always with him. The Trinity. We need to understand something here. This is no different for us today. We place our faith in the Son of God who died for us. And we have the Spirit inside us as a guide. And God the Father, in his sovereignty, has his hand in all things in our lives. Amen? Amen? This has not changed and never will change. All those who believe in the Son have both the Father and the Spirit. Amen? Amen. The question we should have about this text is not whether or not the Spirit was a dove or just appeared flying like a dove, which it was appearance. The dove description is just meaning it was pure and gentle. It was a sight to see. Or if the Father's words were audible, which they were, for all to hear. Our question should be, why was Jesus baptized to begin with? Why did the sinless Son of God, who was the perfect sacrifice on our behalf, need to be baptized by John? Now remember, John was calling for people to repent of their sins. He was calling for them to repent and be baptized as a sign of this repentance. So was Jesus needing to repent? Well, John the Baptist had the same question, and Jesus answers him in Matthew 3. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. So John says, this isn't right. That Jesus should be doing the baptizing. And the response of Jesus is to say it's a fulfillment of all righteousness. What does this mean? Well, we get a couple of things from this statement and this act. The first is that he is not repenting of his sins, but fulfilling something by being baptized. He is fulfilling the act of being righteous for all who will believe in his name. This is fulfillment for all of us, and it leads to the next part of this act. Jesus was modeling for us what our lives should look like. He walked this earth leading the perfect, sinless life. He was perfect in every way, including showing us perfectly how to live out this Christian life. He says to John, "It has to be this way. And it has to be this way so everyone else can see how it is done. You commit yourself to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins that have been separating you from this Savior. And then you step out and show everyone this commitment by being baptized." This is why Jesus had to be baptized by John. We know that all the prophets of the Bible have pointed to the Christ to come. And Isaiah made more so than anybody else. In Isaiah 53, we're shown a glimpse of what the Christ to come would do. 53:11. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah says this righteous one will make many righteous on account of his actions. And the first of his actions in his ministry was to show us all the path that leads to righteousness. Follow Jesus and repent of your sins and be baptized. Amen. We get this concept well. We've all needed to be shown how to do things in our lives. We have all at one point or another followed the examples of others in our lives. I tell this often to my oldest daughter. I'm sure she likes that I mentioned her. Whenever she does something wrong, something she knew better of, I tell her two things. The first is that she knew better to do whatever she did. And the second is to look at her sisters and tell me what they are doing and why they are doing it. You see, they copy her actions because they want to be like her. They want to follow her. This is what Christ is saying in his baptism. He is saying, follow me and do what I do. Follow me and my righteousness shall be yours. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe our question today should be, are we following Christ? Can we see hints of his ministry in our lives? Did what we watch on TV or online this weekend model a Christian life? Did our finances this past year model the life of a Christian? Jesus says, follow me and I'll show you the path. And Mark tells us what happened next was his temptation. Jesus was tested. Verse 12, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was in the wilderness with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Immediately, the Spirit that had come upon him like a dove drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. There's a word we need to see here. This word is immediately. Mark uses this word frequently in his gospel. We've already seen it here in the description of the Spirit earlier. He will actually use it a total of 41 times as we study this book together. This is part of this fast-paced narrative of Mark's that we had looked at last week. He moves from one story to the next of Jesus' ministry in one fluid motion. We see this in our text today as we'll talk about the baptism, the temptation, and the beginning of the ministry of Christ in just 7 verses. This word will be used often by Mark to give us a timeline of how close things were together and to give us a sense of urgency about how the stories were unfolding. In our case today, it's showing us the speed of this process. It is showing us that without delay, Jesus moved from his baptism to his temptation. And this is important. This is important because the sinless Son of God needed to remain sinless. He needed to remain sinless for his sacrifice to mean anything. For if the lamb without blemish were to get a blemish, it would make the lamb unworthy. So Mark says Christ, although sinless, went to John the Baptist to be baptized and then immediately was put to the test. What was this test? Well, Mark gives us a clue. Since being in the wilderness for 40 days, that we learn to be more desert-like than anything else, would be in itself a test. We also receive a fuller picture from Matthew here. In Matthew, we're told it's actually 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, followed by three types of temptations. Essentially, Matthew tells us that his temptations were to take shortcuts with the turning of stones into food, to test God to see if he would help him, and to worship something other than God. Shortcuts, testing God, and idolatry. If we combine this with our Gospel of Mark, we get a more complete story. It is more complete because I do not believe Jesus was only tempted in these three ways. And it's because of our text today and because of the writer of Hebrews. Our text today says he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted. The words used here to give us this translation gives us the idea of something being done continuously. So not merely at the end of his fasting, but throughout his stay in the wilderness. Our author of Hebrews says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." This tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way possible and remained sinless. So we combine our Gospels of Matthew and Mark to find that Jesus faced numerous temptations from Satan while fasting in the wilderness. He faced these temptations without giving in to them and came out on the other side sinless for us all. It's also important to point out that he accomplished this feat, which no man could accomplish, by leaning not on himself, but on the very word of God. Yes. Jesus was in despair and went to Scripture and to his Father for relief. You know, we live in a world today where everything is technologically driven. And my daughters would use all of these electronic devices all day long if you would let them. One evening, they were going to bed, and sometimes we let our oldest watch a video or listen to some music or something else on her tablet before she goes to sleep. But that night, we told them to go straight to bed without watching or listening to anything. She said okay, and a few moments later, she brought us her tablet. She said it was too much of a temptation to have it in her room, so she brought it to us. She came to her parents for help. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, but she came to us when she needed it. This is what Jesus did during his temptation in the wilderness. He didn't stand alone and think, "I've got this," but rather he went to his Father in the same way we can go to our Father by quoting his holy word. Matthew 4:3. "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall live by bread alone, not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" When Jesus was in despair, he used Scripture to find his balance. Amen? The problem we have here is that if we don't know Scripture, then we can't use Scripture in our daily lives. I know with technology today, it's always at our fingertips, but to stand up to evils of this world, we have to know the Word of God. James said, "We will all face trials, and these trials are for our growth. But the growing comes in being driven to the Word. The growing comes from being driven to your knees in prayer." We live in a day and age where sin is all around us, and it's being packaged as normal. Do we get this? Our culture today takes sin and repackages it and sells it to us as normal behavior. The only way to stand in this world against the sins around us that only want our destruction is on the very Word of God. Amen? I don't have a question here, but a statement. Some of us in this room are in trouble. Some of us here today do not pray when we are not in this building. Some of us in this room do not open our Bibles when we are not in this building. If tempted like Christ, how would you fare? Jesus said, "Follow me and do what I do. Repent and be baptized and let the Spirit and your faith in God fight your battles." And then Mark tells us that Jesus began his ministry, 14 and 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now there's no immediately here in our section, so possibly some time has passed between the temptation and our two verses here. This could be due to the travel to Galilee, or it could be due to the angels ministering to Jesus mentioned in the previous verse. In any event, Jesus comes out of his 40 days of fasting and temptation into beginning his ministry. Jesus enters Galilee and tells the people to repent and believe the gospel. But Jesus is just beginning his ministry here and is yet, obviously, to die and rise from the dead. So what is he referring to here when he says gospel? We have two indicators in our text. The first is the gospel of God, and the other is the kingdom of God is at hand. So with these two things in mind, what is Jesus proclaiming? He is proclaiming that his presence is the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promises. These promises that the messenger would come and that the Messiah would follow. He says the kingdom of God is here because Jesus is the Son of God and is starting his ministry for the kingdom on earth. So the gospel or good news that Jesus was delivering to the people was this: the Messiah, who God, through every prophet in the Old Testament, said was coming, is here. He is here and he is me. So repent and believe and follow me. Follow me in my baptism as a sign of repentance. Follow me by overcoming temptations in your life by leaning on the Word of God. And follow me by spreading God's message all. This is the very reason that Jesus came to this earth. He came to show us the path. He came to show us the way to him. His path led him all the way to the cross to suffer and to die so that our path could lead us to eternal life. If we would only believe in Jesus, the Son of God. In closing today, we can look back and see just how the ministry of Jesus on this earth began. It began as a tool for us to use in our lives. Jesus says, "Follow me," and today we saw him publicly display his faith in baptism. Overcome temptation through the power of God and his Word, and then begin to share the gospel with others. This is our map that we follow in our Christian lives. Praise God for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
As we close today and turn our attention to the Lord's table, every one of us in this room needs to ask ourselves a question. Can we see in our lives that we have placed our faith in Christ? Publicly displayed this faith in baptism, and have since used the Word of God to overcome temptations and to share the gospel with others. This is the map for our lives that Jesus Christ has laid out for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to our Heavenly Father is through belief in the Son. If you need to claim this faith today, then please do not wait. If you need prayer for some other temptation in your life, or some other need in your life, then please do not hesitate to do this as well. For any needs at all, bring them before our Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy word. And I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and all that he has come and done for us, showing us the way which to get through this life. The way to live out our Christian lives, to repent, believe in Him, be baptized, share the gospel. Father, I pray now as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's table that anyone in this room has had their heart stirred for you, they would make a commitment now. And for everyone else, we would recommit ourselves to sharing the good news that we know and love. In Jesus' name I pray.